Privateers by Ben Bova. Copyright 1985 by Ben Bova. Narrated by John Polk. Annotation. In the early 21st century, Dan Randolph, an expatriate multimillionaire, wages private warfare against the Soviet space fleet in an attempt to break up the Soviet space mining monopoly. 1985. From the book jacket. Award-winning editor and author of science fact and fiction, Ben Bova is an internationally known expert on the future of man and space. Privateers, a gripping near-future thriller about an American expatriate's bold plan to reclaim the stars from the grip of the Soviet Union, is Bova's most powerful work to date. It is early in the next century. The Soviet Union controls the heavens and holds the world hostage through superiority in space weapons. America is a nation in decline, retreating from its place as a leader of the world. Dan Randolph, former astronaut and engineer, is one of the world's richest men. As famed for his romantic conquests as for his vast fortune made through the mining of space, driven from the U.S. by the collapse of its space program, shut out of the rich resources of the moon by the Russian-dominated International Astronautical Council, Randolph establishes a base in Venezuela to tap the untold wealth of the asteroid belt. But the Russians are willing to take brutal measures, including treachery, sabotage, and murder, to preserve their hegemony. Soon Randolph is pitted in a deadly cat-and-mouse game against Vasily Malik, the young and ruthless commissar of space, not only for mankind's future, but for a diplomat's beautiful daughter they both desire. Forced to operate outside the law, Randolph becomes a latter-day buccaneer, striking back at the Russians to raise the stakes in this deadly game. Privateers is a riveting tale of high adventure that sweeps from the plantations of South America to the boardrooms of Japan, from the Oval Office of America's first woman president to the stark reaches of the high frontier. Combining compelling suspense in the tradition of Robert Ludlum and Ken Follett with believable high-tech speculation, Privateers is a work of vision and courage, a chilling glimpse into an all-too-possible future by one of the most formidable thinkers of our time. About the author. Ben Bova, award-winning former editor of Omni and Analog, columnist and network science commentator, and currently president of the National Space Institute, is the author of more than 60 works of science fiction and science fact, including Orion, The Astral Mirror, and The High Road, a nonfiction work on the industrial development of space. Dedication to Stanley Schmidt. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Chapter 1. The explosion was utterly silent. Vargas hung in emptiness and saw the red finger of the rocket's flame lance out and find car stairs. The shell hit the astronaut's jet backpack and exploded into a meteor shower of shredded fabric, metal, and flesh. The young Venezuelan flinched inside his spacesuit, expecting the blast to knock him tumbling. But in the vacuum of space, there was no blast, no sound. Just a surreal nightmare, hanging helplessly in weightless horror as Carstairs' helmeted head, severed from its trunk, spun past, spewing blood into the black emptiness. "It's a trap!" one of the others was yelling. Vargas heard it as a terrified screech in his helmet earphones. "Get back! It's a trap!" But Vargas could not move. He was frozen, paralyzed with shock and sudden, numbing fear. The big Russian ore freighter hung in space, a massive sphere, a fat ovum with the four needle-shaped flitters hovering close by like eager sperm cells. It was supposed to be easy, Vargas thought. A simple hijacking like all the others. But instead of ores from the moon, this Soviet freighter was carrying Russian troops armed with rocket-firing rifles. A Trojan horse. There had been no warning, no hint of danger. Vargas had piloted one of the four flitters from the space station Nueva Venezuela to intercept the freighter. It was supposed to have been unmanned, a drone ore carrier coasting from the Gulag mines on the moon to the Soviet factories in orbit near the Earth. Dan Randolph had sent them out on missions like this half a dozen times. But the spherical freighter had cracked open like a giant clamshell and disgorged 24 armed cosmonauts. Their first shot had blown Carstairs apart and frozen Vargas where he hung, unarmed and feeling very naked, between his own flitter and the advancing Russian troops. They were asking no questions, showing no mercy. Two more of Vargas' companions were blown apart by rocket rounds. One of the flitters took a hit in its middle, and its propellant tanks blew up in a brilliant, soundless flash of flame. "Get back to the ship!" Njombe's deep voice roared in his earphones. "Get the hell out of here!" Vargas tried to blink away the searing image of the exploding flitter. His eyes burned and watered. He knew that he had to turn himself around, get away from the freighter and its space-suited soldiers. But he could not make his hands move, could not even flex his fingers. He was drifting toward the Russians as the screams and curses of dying men filled his earphones. A second flitter exploded as a rocket hit it. Vargas could see a space-suited figure suddenly flash into a smaller burst of flame as debris from the shattered spacecraft ripped into the oxygen tank of his backpack. A long, agonized scream rasped in Vargas' earphones. "I'm burning! Help!" Another rocket shell reached out unerringly, trailing red fire like a malevolent meteor, and blew the thrashing man apart. The sudden silence seemed to crush the breath out of Vargas. His chest constricted. He could feel his heart trying to burst through his ribs. "Vargas, move it! Get back here, boy!" And Jombe's voice broke the shell of ice that seemed to encase him. He looked down at his hands, past the thick metal rim of his helmet collar, and saw that they were shaking uncontrollably. "Come on, Paco, move it!" With every ounce of strength in him, Vargas forced his hands to stop shaking, forced his fingers to touch the buttons on the control arms of his jet backpack. But as he looked up, he saw the third flitter blow up. The Russian troops were swarming outward now, leaving the concealment of the freighter's shadow and jetting out into the sunlight. Their spacesuits were a light tan, Vargas saw. A part of his mind noted quite calmly what trivia the senses can observe in the midst of terror. There were only two other astronauts left floating weightlessly between the freighter and the last remaining flitter, and the Russians were streaming out after them. Vargas turned himself around, the jet-pack thrusters puffing out microscopic bursts of cold gas. Another astronaut sailed past him, racing at top speed for the last remaining flitter where Njombe waited, still bellowing into his radio microphone for them to hurry. Vargas turned his head to find where the other man was, just in time to see a rocket shell reach him. He was one of the newcomers to Dan Randolph's little band of pirates, younger even than Vargas himself, a fellow Venezuelan. In the flash of a second before the shell detonated, Vargas had just time enough to register the kid's face, eyes wide with panic, mouth gaping, lips peeled back to show every tooth, legs churning uselessly in a mad impersonation of a man being chased by something horrifying. The flash of the shell's explosion blinded Vargas momentarily. Everything turned hot white, then black. Something thumped against him and set him spinning, tumbling, head over heels as the jetpack's thrusters struggled automatically to right him. Vargas squinted through painful eyes and saw what had hit him. An outstretched arm, the fingers of its dead hand reaching out in useless supplication. The jet thrusters finally stopped Vargas spinning, but he saw through the expanding cloud of blood and gas that had been a man just a moment ago, that the Russian troops were flying toward him at full speed. Faceless behind their tinted helmet visors, they looked like robots, deadly, merciless, killing machines. One of them propped the butt of his rifle against his hip. Vargas turned and tried to flee. As if in a nightmare, he felt trapped in invisible quicksand. He could barely move. Far in the distance, he could see Njombe standing inside the cockpit of the last remaining flitter, its transparent bubble of a canopy open, the spacesuited Kenyan waving both arms over his helmeted head, roaring at them in his native tongue. Ahead of himself, Vargas could see the other astronaut, the white metal of his jet backpack glinting in the harsh sunlight, its main thruster emitting a steady, sparkling white plume of cold gas. Vargas did not know who the man was. He could not see his face. Turning his head, the young Venezuelan saw the Russians gaining on him. No matter what he did, they were coming closer, closer. The one in the lead, the one with the rifle at his hip, was pointing it straight at him. Vargas saw the ugly muzzle of the gun yawning darkly, saw the flash as the Russian pulled the trigger. The rocket leaped toward him. Instinctively, Vargas ducked, pulled his head down inside the fishbowl helmet. The rocket lanced past him, missing by a good 20 meters, and he felt an overwhelming flood of relief. The explosion flashed the other astronaut into flame as Vargas turned his head.